Welcome to episode 192 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we read Archie Meets Kiss by Alex Segura. And now, the cast begins.
Yeah, my buddy Alex and I have been watching Kill the Kill.
Oh, how's that one?
It is amazing.
Okay.
Because it starts out as this really, like, cheesy...
I need to watch that. I watched the first episode of it.
It's like this really cheesy parody of all of anime as you know it. Like, the over-dramatic fighting, the over-dramatic wordplay, the incredibly creepy fan service. Like, but it does all of that, but in a really, like, hilarious and awesome satirical way. But then as the show goes on, you realize it's actually kind of neat in its own right. So but it keeps doing all of the same satirical stuff. So it's like, wait, are you pulling satire right now? Or is this actually kind of awesome? I don't know.
That's cool. I like it when they play with tropes and, like, you know, make it unclear whether or not they're just messing with you or whether they're serious or somewhere in between.
That's like this entire show.
Oh man. Grant and I just finished watching... We started watching a harem anime. It's called Heaven's Lost Property. And the premise is basically, like, this girl who's an angel falls down and imprints on, like, the perviest kid on town and thinks that he's her master. And shenanigans ensue. And it sounds like the most offensive show that, like, they could make. And it's, like, full-on pervy. Because it is an ecchi anime, so, like, it's all boobs all the time and panties. But it's hilarious. It was actually really good, and it was only two seasons. There's a scene where the angel can, like, grant wishes, so he wishes for, like, all panties within a 100-meter radius. And it's, like, they just fly off people, and they flap around like seagulls and follow him around. It's on Netflix if you want to check it out.
What is it called again?
Heaven's Lost Property. It's like so over the top offensive that it's just like laugh out loud funny. I thought it was actually quite good.
I'll have to try that. Because Kill the Kill for a good chunk of it is perfectly fine, but then every once in a while when it goes into like the satire of fan service, like Alex and I can't watch it on my iPad, just, like, in the common dining room. Like, we have to go into the corner to make sure nobody else can possibly see the screen.
Yeah, this is one of those things. Like, there's multiple instances of fan service every episode. So, it's like, you can't watch it if other people are around who aren't also, like, appreciative of that brand of humor.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys know that Gurren Lagann is on Netflix now?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm.
It's pretty fun.
So, speaking of fan service, you guys want to start the episode?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm actually pretty tired, so I would like to start the episode.
Okay. All right, everybody, welcome to another jug-headed episode of the Atomic Pirate Supercast. My name's Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey.
And Jen.
Hello.
And this week, we read Archie Meets Kiss. Collecting Archie issues 627 to 630 by Alex Segura. And I gotta say, this is the first time I've ever read Archie.
Really?
Yeah, but that's the thing, is Archie's one of those things that's like always been kind of around in my life, you know, because I started reading comics when they were common at like grocery stores. So my experience of comic books growing up is like picking up one every three or four issues when I had enough money to grab it at the grocery store when I was there with my parents. And Archie was always there, and there's always tons and tons of issues of Archie. So ever since I've been reading comics, Archie has always kind of been around, but I've never actually picked one up and read it. So this was enlightening, because this is that thing that has been around my entire life that I've never actually looked at or done.
Well, so, like, my mother-in-law likes Archie a lot, because when she first came to the U.S., that's kind of how she learned to read English. Mm. She's from Brazil. And so I never really read Archie until I met my wife, because at her parents' house, there is Archie all over the place, like, because her mom still likes to read it. Mm. So, you know, she'll buy issues when she goes to the grocery store. And so... But it was one of those things where I would never. I'm not really sure how the continuity works in Archie, because there is continuity, but mostly what my mother-in-law gets is like the double digest, which is like, it's like a 100. I'm not sure how many pages it is. Maybe like 100 pages, but it's a smaller page size than a normal comic.
Yeah, they're like manga sized almost, right?
Yeah, except it's like on newsprint. It's like the same.
It's like the size of a Reader's Digest, right? Like kind of petite.
Okay. Exactly. And so, you know, they'd be around the house, and so I would just pick one up every once in a while and read it. And it's a funny comic. I think that, you know, back in the 50s or whenever Archie started, it was probably trying to be humorous, but like kind of with the times. And now I think the comic knows exactly what it is. So it's going with like the nostalgia factor, maybe, kind of like that. Like it's playing, it knows it's very self-aware, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So it plays to those strengths, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that makes sense. There were a couple moments in the comic where I was like, oh, that's right on the nose. I know that you know that I know.
But it's also, it's trying to be, it's being itself in modern times too. Because like, there's a part where Reggie references, he makes fun of Archie by saying he's like, joking about his Google Calendar.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, obviously the comic's doing something right because it's still around. I mean, Archie Comics is its own imprint. You know, it's not like Marvel or DC, but you know, it has a fan base and they still make money. You know, so certainly somebody's out there is buying it. So, you know, good for Archie Comics. And they publish a couple other books, like they have like.
Well, they probably have like Sonic a Serena. Hedgehog. Oh, do they do Sonic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have some. They have some kind of odd properties. Yeah, they have Sabrina, like you said.
Yeah, they have spinoff ones. I think I saw. Well, in the ones that I read, they had ads for like a Veronica book, a Sabrina book.
Yeah, it seems.
So there's an Archie comic, which is like the typical format that we're used to with comics. You know, what size is the page? Like 7.5 by 10, like that kind of thing. That exists, but I think the one that probably the comic that probably makes them the more money is like the double digest ones, and they have a bunch of different in the digest format. Like they have Archie and Friends, and you know, a bunch of different things. There's like a Betty and Veronica double digest, and all kinds of stuff. So
Betty was the blonde with the pigtail, right?
Yes, Betty's the blonde one that is in love with Archie, and Veronica's the rich
bitchy one.
Brunette. That is also in love with Archie.
So, is it just me, or I saw ads for, like, comics where it's, like, life with Archie and he's married, but they have, like, one series where it's a universe where he's married to Betty and one series where he's married to Veronica?
Yes. And those are essentially, like, what-if comics, because in, like, Archie has, like...
Because
sometimes we talk about... Like, how old is Batman or whatever? In Archie, they've been teenagers since time immemorial, you know? And so they have these, like, what-if type comics where basically Archie never chooses between Betty and Veronica. And, but these comics, like, the Life with Archie ones basically do, like, a what-if thing. Like, what if Archie chose girl X versus girl Y and what his life would be like when he grows up? And I've not read those, so I'm not really sure how that works out for them, but yeah.
Yeah, I imagine you did that because I'm sure there are fans that are pulling for each one of them. You know, I'm sure that there are fans that are pulling for each one of them and want to know what that story would be like, but, you know, they can't. That's like one of the few dynamics in, I imagine, Archie that is perennially interesting is the interplay between those two and Archie. So you can't, like, get rid of that.
Yeah, and, like, and it's interesting because like Archie or like Betty and Veronica are friends, but they're also like rivals with each other for Archie's affection. And so I've read some Archies where, you know, some other girl comes to town and then, like, they team up, basically, you know.
Oh, man, I can't wait till the feminists get off of Archie.
It's just a fun comic. Like, I think it's just, I'm sure people have, I'm sure there has been feminist studies of this comic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's not like in the regular Archie comic, like what we read, you know, they never really, it's nothing more than like a very wholesome high school type romance, you know, at least in the, I guess the main continuity, the Earth 616 of Archie's, you know?
Well, there was one that I did see that was creepy. One ad that was like, I don't know, like, it was like Christmas with Archie and Betty and Veronica, and it had Archie, like, sitting in, like, a wingback chair, and Veronica on one arm of the chair, and Betty on the other, and he's had his, like, one hand around each of their hips, and I was like, ooh, is this getting into, like, Christmas threesome territory for
well,
Archie?
See, like, here's the thing, like, I'm guessing that the readers of Archie are probably older, you know, people who have been fans of the comic their whole life since childhood type of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they can do little winks to the reader, you know?
That's a hell of a wink.
Yeah, it is. I'm not really sure how else to describe it though. So it's like, it's fan service, right? To a certain degree.
Archie fan service?
There's a line that they're not going to cross, but you know, people in the back of their minds are thinking, what if, you know? And you know, in the Life with Archie comics that we talked about a little bit ago, he, you know, they have, I think he has children with them each, with each girl in each alternate reality. So, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. They obviously, you know, had sex. So, I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say with this. But
well, that's what's kind of interesting about this comic is it does get into that weird territory of, like, there's it like you say, they have to have, but it's weird to even talk about that with this comic because this comic puts off this, like, vibe front to back of just insane wholesomeness.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's grandma stuff. Like, there are things about certain people you don't want to know or ever know. And, like, you know, you don't want to know what your grandparents are doing. You don't want to know what Archie's doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I feel like there are people or characters who inhabit that realm of wholesomeness. Or just, like, I don't know, don't want to imagine that. Where, like, he falls into this for me. Because he's so innocent, right? He seems like the type who, if, you know, confronted with a girl, would just be like, you know.
And that, I think he seemed, in the stuff that I have read, he certainly is like that. Like, he doesn't really know what to make of the situation, where there's these two girls fighting over him for some reason. And so he just tries to, like, live his life. I mean, they're all buddies, though, you know. It's not like, it's one of those things where he, like, they are competing for his affection, but it's not necessarily something that comes up all the time. It's just like, that just happens to be the world they live in, you know?
But in this one, by the way, didn't it see, is Veronica dating Reggie in this one?
No, I'm not sure. So,
see, cause at first I thought they were brother and sister because they're both like black haired and douchey.
I think they're just like the rich kids of the gang. So okay. They're just, they just hang out because they have with their mutual douchiness.
So that was my one question. It seems like there's like this group has like seven people in it, and three of them are cool, and four of them are just like douchebags.
Well, like some of the characters aren't necessarily always with them. Like Sabrina is like a guest star in this, you know.
Okay, well then Sabrina, there goes one of the cool ones because Sabrina's
okay, yeah.
Cool. But like
Betty and Veronica seem like they're very dumb.
Especially Veronica, she comes off as so stupid.
I think it's like it has to do with it's one of those things where the characters are written to serve the needs of the story.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I wouldn't put too much stock in this being how the characters always act.
And well, that's the thing I was kind of concerned about going into this, is it's Archie. Like, isn't in my mind, Archie has always been short for archetype, because that's what most of these characters are. They're just your basic stock characters. And I was like a little bit afraid that there's not going to be a whole lot to get into in this comic. But I think there's a really poignant kind of existential discussion we can have around Jughead.
Continue?
No, yes, not really.
Okay. I thought you were going somewhere with that.
Yeah, I thought you were too.
No, God, no. Like, that's the thing, is there's nothing. There's like, there are these kids, and like you said, David, they're just there to kind of move the plot along, and because they each play their own role, and because they're each basically the typecast characters that they are, whenever you need to move the plot along in any one given direction, that character is the one who speaks up. And that's kind of the whole spiel.
It's not a complicated comic. I don't know if we can look for any like deep social commentary with this comic. I mean, maybe we could kind of dig something up, but I think this comic is supposed to be kind of, I don't want to say vapid because it's kind of got a negative connotation, but there's nothing to it, you know? It's very superficial.
This is like, okay.
And so that's okay. Yeah. It's okay that the comic is that.
I was thinking this is like, you know how there's literature and then there's like your beach comic or your beach book?
Summer reading type of thing?
Yeah, this is like your I'm going to go hang out for a day at the beach and I'm not going to bring War and Peace like Captain Picard. What am I going to bring? I'll bring Archie. You know? And it seems like one of those things you can just sit, relax, kind of half read, fall asleep, wake up, read the rest, like whatever, you know? And it's good for that. It's good for that role.
Well, like I was saying, maybe I'm giving away too much about my mother-in-law here, but usually I find the Archies in the bathroom. Like that's where the reading, that's where it's being read, you know?
Yeah.
And that's totally cool. Like I read that all kinds of, I mean, I read stuff in the bathroom.
The only thing I got, the only time that I was in this and I got like an emotional reaction was when they went to the boring planet.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's looking at their phones.
Everyone's on their phones.
Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah, I was like, okay, that's a little bit too familiar.
you guys do know I'm reading this on a tablet, right?
Yes, that was my exact reaction too.
It was like, I'm reading this on a Nook. If you want me to put the Nook down, it's fine. I don't have to buy the next comic. I can just go about my business.
Yeah, and it's like right next to it, like they have ads like buy the Archie app now on iPhone. Like,
Well, I think you're just not supposed to walk around reading Archie.
You're supposed to sit.
You have to interact with the world.
So I want to say, like, I think like you hit it on the head. It is a comic with an older demographic, but it surprised me because I used to like see it at check stands and think, oh, you know, like, pre-adolescent kids would like that. And reading it now, I look at it, and tonally and plot-wise, it totally reminds me of the things I read when I was, like, maybe 6 to 10 years old. Like, Nancy Drew, and Boxcar Children, Babysitter's Club. Like, or even a little bit of Goosebumps in there, right? Like, I feel like this is meant, obviously, to appeal to all ages, but it's also supposed to be very friendly to young people. And I think that's why we get that, like, such a wholesome vibe and these stock characters. And it seems like they would repeat who they are always, you know. Like, you don't want development in a book like this. You want the characters to stay the same, like, partly because that's kind of how these work, but also so you could just pick up any one of them on the newsstand without having to read, like, a whole bunch of continuity, and you still know, like, who's who.
Like the digests are exactly like that. Like, they have a story that sometimes continues from the other one, like a previous issue, but the vast majority, like three-quarter, like 85-75% of each digest is like little standalone comic strip type things. It's like, here's a little one-page joke, you know. And so, you hit it right on the nose. That's what this comic is supposed to be.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I think we often look for things like, did such and such character grow, or was the plot like crazy entertaining? This wasn't crazy entertaining plot, but for maybe not the right reason. I enjoyed it a lot. But I also think, like, this is meant to be, like, Babysitter's Club, like CSI. It's something nice and familiar that you... No, like, procedurals are like this, too. The characters don't change. It's, like, the same plot every time, and you can jump in whenever. But it's comfort food media. You're meant to be able to access it no matter who you are. Like, it's for it's for the everyman.
And there's good little messages sprinkled all over in there, like with Kiss and how they first see them and treat them like they're the demons coming out of the portal too, except then like, oh no, the Kiss are actually good.
Yeah, and they like, you know, they gain respect for each other. They learn that appearances aren't everything and that like being boring isn't the end of the world as long as you're not like a weird zombie about it.
Yeah, like Kiss goes out of the way to say you guys actually aren't as lame as you looked.
Exactly. And I think we're supposed to learn something from Veronica being such a douche nozzle.
Well, she's like that always. So
no, don't be really a douche nozzle.
Yeah, don't be like her, is what they're saying.
It's probably more of just the, I don't know, if you're going to talk shit about your friends, pay attention to them first. Like, she just got all up in arms over Sabrina casting a spell and that she didn't even fucking pay attention. Like, that's just what makes me think that she was just so stupid. Like, were you just completely not paying attention to anything and just like staring at Archie and his junk to not even realize what the conversation was about?
Like, why is she staring at his junk, Andy?
I don't know. It's the only thing I could think of that would be distracting for her. Like, they want to protect the town from monsters. Oh no, it's definitely not a protection spell. What was it? Like, I don't know. I know it's just plot moving, but they need a stupid character, and it probably should have been Jughead that did that. I don't know. Because after that, she just had zero brains whatsoever. She was just the dumbest person I had ever met.
Yeah, when she asks, she sees the monster kids in the high school, and she's like, where'd you get that amulet? It wasn't meant to be clever. It was meant to be like a fashion question. And I'm like, oh, honey.
She's a fashionista.
If someone were about to like murder me or turn me into a zombie, I would not be asking them about designer jewelry. But then again, I don't think I'd be in her position. You know, what's interesting, though, is like I see all these ads, and it was even in the news when Archie got married. I remember seeing that on... like Entertainment Weekly thing as shown through.
It isn't the thing right now the like death of Archie else, too?
Yeah, Archie died, and then they introduced a gay character.
Yeah, that's Kevin Keller.
Oh, Kevin's gay?
Yeah,
apparently.
He doesn't look gay.
Oh, he gets married. He marries a dude.
Yeah, it doesn't come up in. I mean, he doesn't look gay. Come on, Andy. Come on.
Was that too baity? Sorry.
I took that as like he doesn't. I always thought a comic like this would play it to the stereotype, and they don't.
No, because I think that even though this is like a super wholesome comic, and probably their main demographic is people who've been into Archie comics for a really long time, at the same time, there probably are kids reading this comic, right? Mm-hmm. And they want to be positive. You know, it seems like such a, I don't know, like... I don't want to say like a Republican type of thing, but the comic, because it's like kind of wholesome, you know, so it's like who's wholesome, right?
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, into the wholesome culture, put it that way.
But like the thing about it is though, you know, this comic is wholesome and it's also like, I hate to say liberal, but it's like accepting of people, right?
Not liberal so much as progressive.
Progressive, yeah. That's a much better term.
I don't even know about that. I think just the progressive, conservative, liberal, like those kind of labels. I don't think quite, because there's nothing remotely political about this comic. And I think when we talk about like Republican, conservative, those are the people who buy into the whole wholesome culture kind of thing. And like we were saying, this is a super wholesome feeling comic, except I think Archie, in its self-awareness, knows that it's also kind of a representation of how most people view America. And if that's what this is supposed to be in any level, at this point today in the world, there probably should be a gay character. And if this is Central America, I mean, there's no minorities in here too, but if this is like Iowa, then it's kind of understandable. In that instance, there kind of needs to be a gay character there. Except, I don't know, are there any minorities in Archie? Or are all of them white?
Yeah, no, I was wondering that too.
There are. I mean, like the core, the core cast is all white, but these have been the characters since 1939.
Yeah, right? that I excuse. I mean, so this comic came out in the 40s, and you can't just suddenly make Jughead like Indian.
No, but there are characters have been introduced that represent other ethnic backgrounds.
Okay. Just as long as Riverdale isn't like 99% white.
It certainly isn't. The comic has grown with the time, right?
Yeah.
So
that's why I think like the label of like conservative, liberal, like that kind of stuff. This comic.
Well, like I said, I just couldn't think of a better.
I get it, but I just it seems that this comic is kind of outside of all of that, you know. In a way that even the big two comics aren't. Like, if we read like, I don't know, fucking Spider-Man, and there's not a minority or gay or female character in the comic or in the story at all, then we're kind of up in arms, you know? But like with Archie, like, that's not even like a thing for some reason. I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
Well, you know what's interesting? The only reason I found out about Kevin Keller is back when he was first introduced to the comic, was it like last year or 2 years ago? There was just this major buzz on all the comics, like news websites online, mm-hmm. about people getting so, so angry that they were destroying the values of Archie. And it was like, what? Droves of people wrote angry letters or said they wouldn't buy it anymore. And I know this happens every time you announce like a gay character in comics, because some people are just fucking crazy and mean. Yeah. There is to it.
Like, nowadays, those people, all they watch are the saved TiVo episodes of Duck Dynasty.
Jesus Christ.
That's what those people subsist on.
And Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly. Sorry, I forgot about that. Gotta have your news.
But yeah, like, you know, people were really mad, which made me, honestly, like, kind of, it strengthened the preconceptions I had about the Archie universe when that happened, and how it was majorly targeted towards, like, you know, the average, kind of more conservative, maybe Christian white person.
Well, this happens every single time, like, something happens in the comics. Like, when Peter Parker died and Miles Morales replaced him as Spider-Man, people were like, Spider-Man can't be black, but that's so stupid, right? Or when they brought Earth 2 into the new DC, like the new 52 version, and they made Alan Scott gay, and people were like, no, Green Lantern can't be gay. 99% of those people who are saying no probably were like, don't even know who, that there's four or five different Green Lanterns, right?
Yeah. They probably don't know Alan Scott from Hal Jordan.
And it's just so weird, because it's like, where do these people come from? They come out of the woodwork.
They're like mad that I don't even know. These people don't give a shit about these comics until like some like Rush Limbaugh tells them about it, right? They're like, man, people can't be different, right?
Because David, what happens when your son picks up a comic and reads Archie, and Kevin Keller says that he's gay? How are you going to explain that? that's the argument. Is people should be afraid? You might have to have a quasi awkward conversation with your child about something that actually exists out in the real world.
And that's like one of the nicest fear possibilities that people bring up.
Well, actually they're afraid that they're going to read Kevin Keller. Kevin Keller's going to be cool. What is there about Kevin Keller that makes him cool? He's gay. Oh, I guess I should.
He's gay. Your son's going to be gay. Oh.
Then yeah, it's
darn,
like
my world just crashed down around me that my son might end up being gay.
But even then,
slash
like
sarcasm and in case, like, people don't understand what I'm saying. Like,
but even then, like, okay, say your worst case fear scenario is true, and all of these gay characters in the media make your child gay. Well, then really your child is a weak-minded piece.
Yeah, somehow I don't think that's a weak-minded person. I don't think a character in Archie comics will be the thing that makes it happen, you know? Yeah.
No.
If the influencing factor is the fact that Alan Scott and Kevin Keller are gay, and that's what you're afraid is going to make your child gay, then I'm sorry, but you need to be a better parent.
Yeah.
Hey, trust isn't Kevin me, Keller...
Personally, I am not worried about these kinds of things happening to my child, you know?
Isn't Kevin Keller also in the military?
I don't know if he is or his husband is.
Okay.
Okay, they would have to do something like that to balance it out to people.
His husband's also African-American.
Oh, ooh, that's pushing
multi-minority.
Boundaries.
Oh, okay, so apparently,
Archie paid the multi-kicker.
Looks like, Kevin's, I'm reading the Archie Comics website, which has, like, a list of, like, a character bios. His father is in the military.
Okay.
So I don't know if,
Has his father disowned him yet?
I don't...
That would be way too real for Archie Comics.
It says, much like his father, Colonel Keller, Kevin hopes to join the military one day and fight the good fight. That's what it says.
Oh, that's cool.
Fight the good fight against the Nazis.
He's going to be Captain America, basically.
Yes!
I mean, he's blonde and blue-eyed. He could be Captain America.
Captain Gay America. Hey. Let's do it. Really, if you're the kind of person who's worried about Kevin Keller, then you really shouldn't have your kids read Archie Meets Kiss, because Kiss is way gayer. And I say this, I love Kiss. I love their music. I think they're one of the greatest. They're one of my favorite rock bands. I'm not going to say they're one of the greatest rock bands, because I completely distinguish a band's talent from my level of enjoyment with them.
Well, I'm pretty sure, aren't they billed as the greatest band in the world?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's Journey. Journey's the greatest rock band of all time.
I don't think this is a path we need to go down.
Look, I'm not talking in terms of skill, but every single time a Journey song comes on the radio, you turn it up and sing along. Therefore, greatest of all time.
I don't know, I sing along with Kiss, but I think this is a conversation for a completely different podcast.
I don't know.
Start a new one.
Greatest rock band of all time show.
Well, every time I hear Havana by Barry Manilow, I sing along with that. That doesn't mean Barry Manilow is the greatest rock band in the world.
But that's one song, every hit from Barry Manilow. If you sing along and turn up the radio from every top 10 hit of Barry Manilow, every single one.
Maybe Copacabana is just the best rock band in the world.
Yeah.
It's the best song ever written.
So, to
Didn't
circle
you sing
back.
At a Comic-Con one day?
I sang it at karaoke recently.
Really? Recently?
Yeah.
You went to karaoke without me? No, it's fine. I hate karaoke. Why would I even think of that? I don't know.
I do too, but it was, anyways, this has nothing at all to do with the comics. Although, it did happen after HeroClix last week, so.
You
left, we went and ate, and then we went to karaoke, because it was across the parking lot from the Korean restaurant we were at.
Nice. Well, that's what makes life fun, apparently, is music. Music stops the boredom. Going to concerts.
Just like in this comic.
Hey, nice.
That's why I'm the host.
So we've had a pretty good discussion about Archie. So maybe we should talk about or Archie in general. Maybe we should talk about this particular comic. So this kind of has some, you know, it's the main Riverdale gang with some guest appearances by Sabrina. Kevin appears in this comic, Kevin Keller.
Yeah.
And nobody turned gay when he appeared on the page.
As far as we know.
Well, yeah, as far as we know.
Jughead paired up with anybody yet.
There was Kiss.
Well, there was, you know, we're laughing.
Fun Jughead fact that my wife told me earlier. His real name is Forsyth.
Oh, no.
Forsyth Jones III.
That's awful. Poor child.
Well, that's why his name is Jughead, and not Forsyth.
I don't know if that's, like, much better, but...
He's described as fiercely lazy. Sounds like Andy.
Hey!
I like that. That's me.
Fiercely lazy. This comic actually did have, like, a kind of interesting, like, double... Like, I felt awkward and annoyed reading the page about, look at this bored planet where all of these people are just stuck on their devices and nobody looks up and talks. Like, I was like, fuck you, because I'm on my iPad talking to my sister who just gave birth to a new daughter. So I have a new niece, and I'm using my iPad to do it. And maybe that's what I'm doing in this quote-unquote bored world, walking around staring into my tablet.
No, like, I think...
Like, I think that view came from an ageist place. Or even an anti-technology or technology-fearing place. Whoever wrote that in, I think, was pushing towards the older demographic of this comic, or I don't know what. But then it balances out on the other side, because, like, if you do put down the iPad and you do go out and live a life, then you will go to a concert and go see Kiss at the Free Carnival. And, like, it's kind of nice that they... Yeah, but it's kind of nice that they did both things. Right, because I think the iPad criticism or whatever in here is bullshit, or the technology criticism in here is bullshit. And I think whenever I read that kind of stuff, it always makes me like very, very upset. But I do think that, like, I'm a homebody kind of a person, but I do think that every once in a while you got to get out and go out and do something. And what I really like to do is go with my wife and see live music and have a couple beers, and like that's. You need to go out and experience life, and that message is in here, and I do really, really like that, because that's a problem that does exist with kids these days. Like,
yeah, I think the commentary is, maybe it's too glossed over, so you can see it as a anti-technology type of view, but at the same time, I feel like the message it's really trying to get across is, like you said, Andy, that you can't keep your face stuck in a screen because the world's going to pass you by, you know?
As I sit here looking at my triple monitor display.
Well, obviously, like, we're using technology to record this. Like, yeah. Without technology, there is no podcasts, right?
Yeah. Well, and there should be, I don't know, it's a balance, everything in moderation, all that stuff, I get it. But I just, I appreciated that it wasn't just the one side of the argument, it was also the get out and enjoy your life art stuff in there, too. And but what did kind of get me is that this could have been literally any band ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Kiss was kind of nice, because then you had the whole accepting people for what they look like kind of a thing.
Well, apparently they're in a lot of comics. Like, they have their own runs for things, too. So, well, my guess is...
Kiss had comics back when they were...
Popular?
They're still popular.
I know they're still popular.
But, I mean, Kiss was like a merchandising machine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not on the same level as, like, Star Wars, but, man, Kiss merchandise is a big thing, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of wonder who approached whom on this one, but I feel like part of it is that, you know, Kiss is obviously open to having comics done about them. So, you know, maybe someone saw that and was like, hey, let's include it. And I remember reading on this. Apparently, I see a lot of news articles on Archie. But, like, this was also a big thing because people were like, you know, how's it going to play out? Is it too extreme for Archie fans? Like, you know, coming to think of it, like, who are these Archie fans that these articles reference? Because they all seem like crazy hermits. I don't think that's the actual fan base. But no, really, like, it seems a bit of a stretch for this comic to include a band like Kiss. So, I don't know, that's kind of a fun juxtaposition, right? Like, it's a strange comparison when you take something as extreme as Kiss, like, that has this whole image built around it, and then you take that kind of, like, opposite image in Archie and see how the two interact. I actually thought, like, the fact that it was them made it way more enjoyable than if it was, like, just another rock band. you know, like, even if it had been, like, Journey, I don't think it would have had the same amazing effect that Kiss did in here.
No.
Doing some cursory Wikipedia research, I'm gonna say that I think the connection is that IDW is publishing Kiss Comics. And I think IDW probably has some kind of relationship with Archie Comics, because on the Archie Comics website, there is a news in their news articles. There's talk about Archie Comics teaming up with IDW to do Archie meets I can't even say this with a straight face. Archie meets Predator.
Can we please read that?
Yes, we'll have to do that. But
God, it's going to be amazing. They're going to become friends and understand each other's differences.
Man, I was dumb because Dark Horse is Predator. Oh, but anyways, we'll have to do
this. But it is happening, yes?
Yeah, it appears to be happening.
I'm so excited for this.
Oh, it was announced at New York Comic Con. Ah. It says, just announced at New York Comic Con 2014, America's favorite teen meets the galaxy's fiercest hunter.
It's going to be so good. They're going to be
coming
friends.
In spring of 2015, Archie meets Predator.
I'm putting this on my calendar.
Apparently, Archie and his friends hit Costa Rica for spring break, where a party and beach games soon get replaced by the most dangerous game. What mysterious attraction does the gang hold for the trophy-collecting Predator? And will the kids even realize they're in danger before it claims them all?
He's totally going to get Jughead's crown.
Yeah, he is. Oh, this is the best thing ever.
Oh my god.
The art's so... That's the cutest looking Predator I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, back to this one. I the whole time I was reading this, I got shades of like Mirror Universe Detroit Metal City. You guys remember that one when we did the manga series?
Hell yeah, I remember that one. Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Those
I was
my
like
things I've ever experienced in my life.
If one of these guys joins the band.
Well, I mean Detroit Metal City is like, I'm pretty sure the name comes from the Kiss song, Detroit Rock City.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I don't know. The whole time I was reading this, I was like, what would it be like if Jughead actually joined Kiss? Because in the end, they change everybody's face, right? They're like, hey, and as a parting gift, like he does his tongue thing, and then everybody changes their faces and gets painted.
That's how he does it. He shoots his tongue at them.
Yeah, that's how it works in my head. Magic tongue.
No comment.
Yep. I don't know. I don't really have. This is Archie.
Wait, yeah, can we just like take a moment to like say the plot out loud, because it's really amazing if you just say it.
Do it.
And it's that they need to cast a protection spell because monsters might come on Halloween, but it gets screwed up and they summon monsters, and then they summon Kiss, and Kiss comes to fight the monsters using rock and roll. What? What did I just read?
The best comic ever? Question mark?
Yeah, exactly, but with the question mark at the end too. No, it's so... This is like extremely creative, I feel. Because I feel like most things we read have their universe and have their genre. And maybe you'll say, like, okay, that was a bit wacky. This is, like, the most insane plot that we've read. Like, that actually makes any modicum of sense. I'm not talking, like, Batman Odyssey.
Batman Odyssey is straight up insane.
Yeah, but this is, like, insane in a purposeful, thought-out... And it works kind of way. Or at least I thought it worked. It was... Who comes up with this?
Alex Segura.
You know, I kind of... Like, part of me wants to make fun of this comic, but it's hard because I really did enjoy this. It was fun. Because this comic doesn't try to be anything that it's... It knows exactly what it is and plays to those strengths.
Yeah, it's because it's not... It's not bad. It's not like Spawn or Nine Rings of Wu-Tang. It's just, it's Archie. I don't know.
I don't think it's bad at all. I think it was really well done for, like, what it is. And it is what it is. It's, Archie, I would say, might just be its own genre. Because it's such a long-running comic. It does a thing that no one else does, and it's done it for longer than anyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they found a successful formula. It's been going for since as long as Captain America, right?
Yeah. Well, longer than that. Since as long as when did Superman come out?
38.
So this is like somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, 39 is when Archie Comics first appeared.
Hot damn!
Wow. Oh, somebody in the show notes asked about Jughead's crown, so I did research on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what the fuck is up with that?
So apparently that was a popular thing in the 30s and 40s for kids to do. And what the crown is, they kept calling it a beanie, but to me, like, a beanie is like a knit cap.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, that's just a California thing. But apparently what they kids would do is they would take a fedora, like a real fedora, not like a milady fedora. And they would cut little zigzags in the brim and then cut the and then turn the brim up. And that's how you get the crown.
This is like a waste of a good hat. See, because I thought it was one of those paper Burger King crowns.
It is not a Burger King crown.
Okay, because they kept talking about him being addicted to, like, burgers. Like, that was the running joke. So I was like, I guess he's one of those douchebags who gets those paper crowns and just wears them around all day like it's cool.
No, he's just had that hat since 1939.
Okay.
See, that's actually a negative to having such a long-running comic, because when you start building in character traits that are, like, you know, from a certain time period, you can't change them. And then you're stuck with a kid with a crown in the year 2014.
I guess what they just need is a gritty reboot of Jughead.
Yeah, like, they should get Frank Miller to do it. There we go.
Oh, God. You'd have to keep, well, he'd have to keep that, like, smug motherfucking smarmy face of his. I hated Jughead. I hated Jughead with a passion. He just always has that, like, kind of look on his face, like, oh my God.
Well, just imagine him making that face while, like, curb stomping someone's head in, like, a violent, explosive manner, and there you have the reboot.
You know what? Warren Ellis would actually be a good Jughead rebooter.
Oh, God.
Because then there would be, like a creepy, like, sex addiction with burgers kind of a thing.
Yeah, it'd be a fetish.
Yeah, yeah. He could be on The Boys.
I feel like you could make a whole podcast about, like, ways to ruin Archie.
Oh, God, yeah. Every week. Just turn him into other characters. Put him in a creature.
We could spin, like, this. We could have, like, this, you know, like, Wheel of Fortune type wheel where we spin it and it picks a comic book writer, and then we imagine Archie written by that person. Like, what would the Grant Morrison one look like?
God. The Grant Morrison one would be that, like, his stupid crown is, like, a gateway to a multiversal dimension where there's hyper-thread whatever the fuck random made-up words.
And then he meets Grant Morrison at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And has an existential crisis.
But it's all just in his fedora crown thing.
Yes.
Like Grant Morrison. I hate him. I hate him.
No, you don't.
I don't hate him. I hate what he writes. He seems like a nice guy. And he says interesting, smart things about other people's comics.
Well, sometimes he writes completely insane things, and sometimes he writes awesome things, and sometimes they're the same thing.
I mean, sometimes he writes All-Star Superman. So.
That's true. All-Star Superman, and what else was good? The Batman. Animal Man was actually really good.
Batman was amazing.
Yeah, Batman Inc. Mm-hmm. But for each one of those, there's The Filth and his X-Men run.
And that time he did Archie. Oh, God.
Okay, so let's rate this.
Okay.
I think we've ran out of stuff.
Alan Moore, Archie, go. Just kidding.
Jen, you go first. Betty or Veronica?
I don't like either of them bitches. No, really, like, Veronica is just awful, and Betty, she didn't seem
all there.
Yeah, she was dumb in, like, a not mean way.
Let me tell you, if you guys read more Archie, you will definitely become a Veronica. You'll be Team Veronica. Or, excuse me, Team Betty. What am I saying? Team Betty. Betty's the one you want Archie to end up with.
Okay. Veronica seems like a shit.
Yes.
I mean, that just seems like a character trait, but I don't. I'm Team Sabrina. Okay, so, if I was gonna rate this, I would give it a 3.5, because it was insane. I enjoyed it. Like, it's not for me. I don't think that I would pick one up at the grocery store while I'm buying, like, my broccoli or something. It's a little too milquetoast for for me, this universe.
That's a good word.
Thank you. I would much prefer something darker and grittier. And I don't know, just seeing a bunch of, like, small-town teenagers have silly adventures is not my thing in particular. But this comic...
I think the word you're looking for is hijinks.
Yes, they have hijinks. That is absolutely true. This was an insane comic, and I really liked how crazy it was, because you can't describe it without laughing. And that's kind of cool. And, you know, it had, like, you can't say much about the art. I feel like the art's been the same for 2 decades, at least.
Yeah.
You have to go really far back to get the stuff that's kind of different.
They actually have, like, a new style art for Archie in some of the comics, which is more in line with, like...
Jim Lee.
Yeah, I mean, Archie's whole torso is made of abs.
Does he have pouches? And chains?
Oh, that'd be glorious.
That's Archie Extreme that you're thinking.
Oh, okay.
Archie 3000.
Well, it's Archie 2 the Extreme, and it's the number 2. Extreme like is somehow spelled with Z's.
It's like Doritos Extreme. It's hamburger flavored. Oh, don't ever, ever eat hamburger flavored Doritos. You will regret it.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, don't.
Dude, have you seen all, like, the different flavored Lays that they've come out with? There's a cappuccino-flavored Lays.
I don't know what that is.
It sounds fucking disgusting.
We are killing the tangents tonight. Yeah.
No, this is the heart and soul of America, guys. Junk food and Grant Morrison, because he's all-American Scotsman. That's like being American. America. I am so sorry, Scotland.
They've been fighting for independence, and you've just bringing them back into our fold now.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're not just attached to the UK. You got Merca now.
Merca. Okay, you're done. I'm going to give this a...
You're cut off.
We're doing it live. I'm going to give this a 2.5. I don't know. It's a comic. Hey,
Happy Days comic.
Yeah. Hey. Well, okay. No, that's
kind of is.
Yeah.
That's the perfect way to phrase it. Like, I'm going to give this 2.5 because I recognize this as being a comic book and as being completely average, and recognizing, tipping my hat, so to say, to its achievements over the last, 7 decades now, 8 decades ish, 7 or 8 decades. I don't know. I can't count. Math is hard.
So you got mad respect for Archie, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I got mad respect for Archie and what he's doing over there, you know. But I'm never going to read another Archie again for the rest of my life, I think I can say. And it's not because I don't like Archie. It's just like, when I first got a TiVo, I realized I didn't have to watch just what was on. I could watch what I wanted to watch. So I stopped watching sitcom. I stopped watching Happy Days and the stuff that came on at 8 o'clock. I stopped watching it because I could use my time to watch the stuff that I liked more. And this is just like, this is the sitcom of comic books. This is always going to be there. It's the archetype that's never going to go away, I don't think. And, you know, for a ton of people, this is all that they need to be happy. And that's great, you know, you go into the grocery store, this is there next to the magazines, you grab your Archie, you check out, you read your Archie comic. You know, and it's good for what it is, and that's great and everything, but... I'm not going to TiVo it. I'm not going to add it to my pull list. I'm not going to go out of my way to make time to read it. It's just, it's there for the people that like it. And I've got, you know, mad props and straight respect for Archie. But, I don't know, 2.5.
All right.
David?
I'm going to give this comic a 5. Just
fuck
kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give it a, I'm going to give it a 3.5. I think, because this is not my first trip to Riverdale. Rivendell, I don't know what it's called.
Oh my god, that would be way better.
Elrond meets Kiss.
Oh my god.
I'd read it.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, I'm gonna give this a 3.5. It's just it's fun comic. It's entertaining, you know, it's funny. I don't really have anything bad to say about the comic. It's not like you know, it's not a 5 out of 5 comic in any shape or form for me. Like, I can't even give it a 5 because I like it a lot. But it's not bad, and I enjoyed it. So, if somebody was like, hey, David, what's the best Archie comic to read? I don't know if I would say Archie Meets Kiss, but I would say give Archie a try, because it's its own genre. So, yeah, 3.5. I liked it.
Okay. Well, next week, then, we are going to wrap up our Comics About Music series. We're going to read Dazzler.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's all been building up to this. We're going to read the first 6 issues of the 1981 arc written, or the 1981 run written by Tom DeFalco. This is only collected in Essential Dazzler, you know, the big things that come in black and white. You can find, actually, the individual issues for, like, $1 a piece. And the only problem is I don't know where the first arc starts and ends, so we're just going to read the first 6 issues out of that Essential trade. And I hope that that's a comprehensive story. I don't know. If I read the first 5, and it seems like 5 was the end of the first arc, then I'll kind of just stop there. I don't know, but I was reading the synopses, and issue 6 says that Hulk crashes one of her shows, so I feel like that deserves reading. Anyway, that's next week. If you want to see what we have coming up next, go to our website, www.apsupercast.com. On the right, click on a button, such future shows. They'll all be listed right there. If you have a suggestion for what we should read and record and talk about coming up, go ahead and send us an email at
AtomicPoweredSupercast@gmail.com.
And as always, you can find us on all the social medias at AP Supercast. That's on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr. It's all the same, AP Supercast. And as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Until next week.
Goodbye.